All right, how's everybody doing this morning? Is anybody here? All right, there's more than a few of you here. Thanks for being here. I'm excited right now. This is the annual time for us to do our 40-day study. And for those who've been with us on this journey, it's always about October, November. We take our time as a church to kind of come together and study one time, one thought. And last week, I kind of set it up by talking about the Lord's Supper and the battle that goes on in me about administering the Lord's Supper as a pastor. And I'm going to encourage, if you missed last week, it's not up yet, but I'll encourage you to go online and listen to that sermon. It's on our centerpointfbc.com website. So it'll be up sometime during this series. I want you to go and listen to that because it echoes the battle I have as we share the Lord's Supper. And we're going to do that on November 22nd. We're going to have us the elements of the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread and the grape juice, and we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And I shared with you the battle I have. And this morning, I kind of want to take another step in this Lord's Supper by kind of giving you a little bit of a history and a little bit of a thought. Because here's what I want to see in our church. I want you to know something. Our church has been really blessed. Our church has been touched by God, and some great things have happened. Some of you have not been part of this journey yet. You're just joining our journey. Go back, just so you kind of get a picture of this church. This church started in 1947. On a hall down the street where I think it's where the bank is, Maple Leaf Hall. I think it's where the bank is currently, or now it's a sheriff's station. It was a bank. And the church started there. They bought this land. I think it was $4,000. And they put up a tent, and they met in a tent. And they met in the tent, according to what I read in this other book that says, they met in a tent till the windstorm tore it apart. All right, and the windstorm tore it apart. And so they built a building, and then they brought another building down from Sharp Depot, the Army, from the 40s. Anybody? They brought another building down and put it on the back lot, and then I come along and paint this thing blue. All right? We had a blue church, and I'm colorblind, so that was the excuse I used. And so we had our blue church setting here. But then God began to work, and God began to do, as he'd always done in the life of this church, some great things again, because we tore that building down. And it was really, you get a kind of a history. This church couldn't be here because we didn't raise that kind of finances. With 100 people, we didn't have the finances to do all that we needed to do. And but the county comes along and wants to widen their road over here. You know, it had a bunch of old Modesto ash trees, I think they were called, in the sewer lines. I could tell you all sorts of things. They wanted to widen the road. So it's like, I'll give you the land if you curb, gutter, sidewalk, asphalt to it, and fix it up. And they did. The school wanted to do some work out in the front. It's like an easement out in front. We get the parking lot during the week. The school and the county put the parking lot in. The water company puts a new main line down Westwood. They put a fire hydrant right here on the side of our church. There's a story that goes with our church that I want us to remember. We need to pass down this story. And here's this church with about 100 people in. Statistically, and on the average, a church, when you do a financial camp, the building, you can get about 100% of your annual money in a three-year pledge from your people. And they say if you get 200%, you've done exceedingly well. If you get 300%, you're exceptional. Well, we got between 200% and 300% of our annual income in a pledge. God was working to make this happen. Some of you don't have a history of what God did here. And I want to make sure we pass that history down. We need to remember what God has done. Now, some of you are going to get a chance to remember when we were the portable church and the metal chairs. Come on. Remember setting up, tearing down? Well, some of you are going to need to stay and help tear down today. You're going to talk to Ernie afterwards. He'll get you coordinated. We're going to move some chairs around. So might have got out of the practice for the last 2 years, but you're going to get some practice today. We're going to move some chairs around today. But we need to pass down this history. I want people to know what God has done in the life of this church. And how God has moved the people to bring us to this point. We are really blessed as a church. It's insured for $2 million. We owe $400,000 on this building. That's all. God has really blessed us. Everybody that walks in is amazed at what God has given us here. And what God has done. And your guys' faithfulness and generosity has made it possible. But we need to remember that. We forget. I told you last week how easy to forget. Everybody was reminding me when my grandkids' birthdays were. All right? Because I shared last week, I can't remember when my grandkids, I know one, Jules Renee, November 16th, because mine's 25th, so I can remember her. I think Austin's is in February, I think Aubrey's in May, Sam Samantha and Remy and I don't know. I can barely get my kids, okay? I got three kids. I have a hard time with just three kids. We don't remember well. You know, I tell you guys, you better remember your anniversary. You know, 6-6-76 is mine. See, I got mine down. And wait, is it 6-12-76? 6-12-76. Yeah, 6-12-76. Boy, I better. See, we forget it. We need these reminders. We need and that's what the Lord's Supper is. The Lord's Supper is a reminder. It's a time to remember. But it has a history. It goes all the way back into the Old Testament. It goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. It goes all the way back to people who were enslaved in Egypt. When God stepped into their midst and delivered them from that slavery, that freed them from that slavery, it goes all the way back to there. And it's easy to forget, so God gave them a reminder. God says, I want you to remember this day. I want you to remember this time. I want you to remember this journey. And here, you got your Bible. Get your outline out. You're going to need your outline. Please pull it out. You're going to need your outline. Blanks to fill in. I'm going to challenge you to do some other things too. Look at what he says. This is a day to remember. This is a day to remember. Each year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. He wanted them to remember. It's easy to forget. It's easy to let things slip to our mind. This is called the Passover. This is that last of the 10 plagues when God passed over the Egyptians who had not freed his people and had the death of the firstborn for all those who had not had the blood over their doorposts and doorframe. And God had set them free. So Jesus had gathered for the Passover and he established the Lord's Supper. And again, so he's saying, I want you to remember this event. I want you to remember this time when I passed over. And then Jesus comes along during the Passover, and he sets up the Lord's Supper. And I want you to listen to what he says. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I want you to change here. Exodus and the Passover is a remembrance of an event. The event. God passed over and set free the people of God. An event. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's a celebration of Jesus Christ. It's about a relationship. When we come to the table of the Lord, we're coming because of a relationship with God. You get it? Coming into God's presence as a relationship. It's a family. It's a meal we share with him. There as the elements represent, as the elements symbolize. And we're sitting there to symbolize that. And we're sitting there to picture that. And we need these reminders. I want to make sure we remember the history of the church. We remember what God has done for Israel. We remember what Jesus did on the cross. We need to remember. And so as we remember, there's some things we need to do. There's some things we need to do to get ready. The whole base of the message series is based on a scripture that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth that he says, you need to examine yourself. And we're going to be talking about that for the next 4 weeks. So how does it happen? What are we going to do? How does it play out? We're going to have the Lord's Supper, November 20th. I want you to come. I want you to be here. I want you to experience it. I want it to be a time that you remember. That we need to get ready. We need to prepare. And so that's one of the challenges with. So here's some things I want us to do to prepare, all right? Here's some things I want to encourage you to do over the next 40 days as we approach November 22nd. Because I want I want this to be a day that you remember. I remember the day I was saved. I remember sitting at that dining room table. I've told you the story. I remember the day I was baptized. There were 13 of us there. I remember sitting underneath the Golden Gate Bridge and seeing God in a special way underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. I can just go on and name events that I remember. I want November 22nd to be a day that I remember and that you remember. That it just sticks out in your head, like that day you accepted Christ or that day you were baptized. A day that you just see God in a special way. But for that to happen, I think there's some things we need to do to get ready. Yeah. I don't want it to be just a normal Sunday that we have. I want it to be something special and significant and meaningful for you. And so here's some ideas to help do that, all right? So get your outline out and kind of follow along. And here's some ideas to help us stop and remember. First, I put it this way. We need to look back and remember God's faithfulness. We need to stop and look back and remember all that God has done in the faith of God. Because here's the problem, at least for me. When things are not going well, when things are not quite clicking along, maybe financially, maybe some relationships, maybe work, maybe school, maybe something's going on and things aren't clicking along right, I need to remember God's faithfulness. But the problem is, I don't always. Anybody? I'm usually thinking about my problems. I'm usually thinking about everything that's going wrong. I'm usually focusing on why me. And so if we're going to look forward to what God is going to do, we got to stop and remember God's faithfulness. That's what he's calling Israel to do. Kind of give you a picture here. Let's read this verse. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is Exodus 19. Give you a picture. 60 days before this, these people were slaves in Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. 60 days before this. They had just traveled 60 days. They had crossed the Red Sea, chased by the Egyptians. Anybody familiar with the story? You know, drowned in the Red Sea. And you see that picture. And now they're at the bottom of this mountain called, anybody? Mount Sinai. All right, I hear some of you out there. You're at the bottom of this mountain. And so Moses has brought them to this point, and God's saying, listen, I want you to remember. Remember what I did. Remember my faithfulness. Remember how I moved in your midst. We need to think about God's faithfulness. We look at our world. You know what? I got up this morning and expected the sunrise. Anybody else? You know, I expected the sun to be up. I mean, when I woke up, it wasn't up, but, you know, it came up, you know. I expected today to be Sunday. Anybody else? I expected today to be Sunday. You know what? I expect tomorrow to be Monday. Anybody? You know? We got these expectations because of God's faithfulness. You know? We turn around on this 23-degree axis that was off just a little bit. Guess what? We wouldn't be here. God's faithful. 24 hours we turn around. 365 days a year we rotate around the sun. Seasons change. Things happen. God is faithful. He delivers. He's doing things. He's in our midst moving and making things happen. And we need to reflect on that. When things are moving in our lives, God is faithful. God has not deserted us. He has not left us. He is in our midst. And he wants to do good things. We've looked at scriptures on that. How God wants to bless and move. And so we need to stop and look at God's faithfulness over the next 40 days. I want you to see what God has done. Look at what it says here. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands. God is faithful. See, here's what happened. Just kind of give you a picture here. They're at the mountain. God says, look what I did. Look how I set you free. 40 years later, here in Deuteronomy, God says, look what I did. I took you through this wilderness 40 years. Now, I want to tell you, was that 40 years smooth and easy? They complained about the food, complained about the water, they complained about Moses. You know, they whined about everything. You know, you want a little cheese without whining? You know, it's kind of, you know, what's going on there? But God had been faithful. See, things don't always run smooth in our lives. Things don't always click along like, oh boy, isn't this happy world? Just be happy. Isn't there a song? You know, too bad it's not like that. You know, but what makes joy is, I just think, that you can count on God, that you can depend on God. You know? And so here's what I want you to do. Just take a minute. I want you to think. When was the time God was faithful for you? Think back right now. When was a time that stuck in your mind that you can say, God was there? He did something. He moved. I can remember sitting in the outside a door at a hospital. We had called our friends in my church back there in Sacramento that I grew up in. Our first daughter is in the room getting a spinal tap. The second one, because the first one showed meningitis. We're sitting out that door and we're praying and all our friends are praying. And it came back that probably the little tray that they use had an infection because she didn't have the infection. Anybody? God is faithful. God is faithful. I look back over times when there's financial pressure. Yeah. Anybody? There's financial burdens and you're setting and you're not knowing where it's going to come from. And then you open an envelope up and there's $20 for a birthday gift. Anybody? You know, God is faithful. And so we need to remember that. You got 40 days. I want you to be thinking, when is the time that God really was faithful for me? That he was just there. I want you to make a note of that. Because see, we forget. We get so wrapped up in our lives and everything that's wrong, we forget. And so I think these remembrances is a call to remember God's faithfulness. We need to look back. But not only do I think we need to look back, we need to look forward, okay? Because, you know, the past, we can't read. Anybody can redo the past? You know, can anybody change your past? It doesn't happen. But who can change the future? We can. We make our own future. So we need to look forward. And so I put it this way. We need to celebrate our future. You need to celebrate your future. There's a great future ahead. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Anybody? Sometimes it doesn't look like it. But there's a great future. I want you to think, here's these people from Israel, from Egypt, traveling, these Israelites traveling out 60 days. They're at the bottom of this mountain, been chased by the Egyptians. They're nobodies, all right? They have nothing, no home, no place to go. They don't even know where they're going. They're just traveling. They're just following this cloud and this fire. They have no idea what's going on. But God said this. Look at what it says. Exodus 19. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of the nations you will be my treasured possessions. Why don't you circle that? We're going to come back to that. You will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. See, God's talking to Moses and saying, these are a treasured people. They're a special. I want you to think, 60 days ago, they were in bondage. 60 days ago, they were on the other side of the Red Sea, and now all they have is their freedom. The clothes on their, that's it. They have nothing. They're nobody who are nowhere and have no idea where they're going. Anybody ever feel like that about life? But I want to tell you what, even if you feel that way, and some of you here might be this morning, you don't feel like you're a treasured possession. You are a treasured possession. I give the kids a bad time all the time, and they give me a bad time. I call myself Gary the Great. I'm a treasured possession. The kids call me Gary the Grape, Gary the Gray. They call me all sorts of stuff. All right? You need to know, I do have a big head, you know? I'm going to tell you, you get a big head, somebody will pop it for you. Just get used, okay? Yeah. But I want you to know, I am no more special than anybody else here, but we're all special. We're all handmade by God. We're all unique. We're all uniquely gifted. You know, you sit here in this morning, and I'm sitting here telling you, you're special. You're a treasured possession. You're sitting there going, well, what do I have? I can't sing. I can't spell. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. You know? We all think about, I can't. But I want to tell you what. We're all special. We're a treasured possession. Israelites were nobody. They were nobads and in no place, going nowhere with nothing. And God says, you're a treasured possession. I'm going, yeah, I really feel like it, God. Anybody ever feel like that? We need to stop and look to the future. We are God's people. We are a people of God that he loves and that he cares for, that he watches over. We are his. We belong to him. So if you're sitting here this morning, I want you to think, you are a treasured possession. There may be other people that have more skills. I sit back as a pastor, and I watch these guys get up, and they start praying, and they go to singing. It's like, you guys wouldn't want. Or they have all these different skills and talents. And it's like, you know, I can't even draw stick figures very well. Anybody else in that one? You know? How do we, but I'm a treasured possession. It's because of who I am. get the picture now. It's not what I do. It's not what I have. It's who I am. I am a treasure because I am a child of the King. Anybody? I am a treasured possession because I am a holy priest. All of us are. Look at this next verse here on the other side if you flip it over. But you are a chosen people. Again, you like that one? Circle that one too. A treasured people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9. See, the special people. We are this priest. You don't need, you know, we give an invitation into the service here, and I'm here to pray with you and to share with you. But you know what? You don't need to go to me to talk to God. Am I right? You have access to God. We're also, people can look at us. And my prayer is I want people to see Jesus in me. They don't always see Jesus in me because sometimes I'm not like Jesus. But that's my prayer. That's what I want. You know? And then I get to serve God. I mean, I get to be part of big God thing. I'm part of something God's doing. Something special, something miraculous. See, we're this chosen people. See, we need to remember God's faithfulness, and we need to celebrate our future. There's a glorious future. Just so you know, I see this church, and this is why I challenged the leaders of the church the other Sunday, that we need to have 200 people in 3 years. I think we can do it in two. You want to know the truth. I think God gave us this big building just for 75, 80, 90, 100 people. I think God put this here to make a difference. Anybody? And I think God wants to do something. And so that's a few, I'm looking forward to, and we're going to have 200 people, and my big thing, you know, just so you know, it's fun to come and sit in rows, but I want to see you in circles too, in homes. You know, studying God's Word and spending some time during the week in God's Word. You know what I always say, you've been here very long, if you haven't, you're going to hear this over and over again, you need three life. You need a local church that you're part of the family of God with. You need a small group that you can enjoy and share fellowship with, and enjoy learning and growing together. And you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. You need somebody who can look in your eye and tell you, you really messed that one up. And we need those. God created us that way. And so, see, we have this great future ahead of us. I'm excited what God's going to do. I don't know where God's going to turn. I still tell the church, I still see this church in the future. I want a building right here, and I wanted this building to be used in slide, but I want 10 acres out in the country over here on the west side, because there's no big church on the west side. And so I envision 10 acres. The county wouldn't do anything with me 5 years ago when we started all this project. But God has control of that anyway. But see, God's going to do something. Will you celebrate the future? We're going to sit at the Lord's table. Are you ready to celebrate the future? Are you ready to enjoy that? Are you ready to experience that? So we need to look back to God's faith. Look ahead to celebrate the future. And then I put it this way. We need to commit with the community. We need to look around and commit with the community. We are a people of God. You notice what that other verse was talking about. I want to kind of fine tune on that. I want you to look at what it says here as he went on talking. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people. He came down off the mountain. Just get a picture of it. He'd been up talking with God on the mountain. He had come down and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. People all responded together. The people all responded together. We will do everything the Lord has said. I underlined that in my notes. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. We will do. We are a collection of people. It's not just individuals. We are a family. I want to be part of the family. This is my family. I am closer to many of you and most of you than I am to my own brother and sister, my dad. I'm closer to many of you than I am to my own family because this is my family. I enjoy this family. It's fun to be with this family. See, we're part of the family of God. We're a people of God. We're a church. We're the body of Christ. We're a fellowship. We can go on and name it. But it's we. I want you to see that. We. You do not go through this world by yourself. And he's asking us to do this together, to be a part of something together. See, we are a collection. And so here's my challenge to you. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We need to get ready for it. We need to remember that we also need to prepare. And so to do that, what we're going to do, I give you a break this year. Usually our 40-day study is 40 days worth of reading, writing, and small group, right? Well, you guys, I'm going to give you a break. You only got 28 days this year. So you can say the pastor was good. He gave you a 28-day study. The book is back there in the back. I'm going to encourage you to pick one up as you go out. It's the Lord's table. It's getting us ready to share the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to encourage you to pick it up, and I'm going to encourage you to join a small group. I have a group on Monday. My wife has a group on Wednesday. Martha has one on Thursday. Dan and Linda have one on Tuesday. There's one on Friday. There's one Sunday afternoon. And there's going to be more. There's going to be more. And so I want to encourage you to find a group. But here's it. Let me ask you to do this too. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's hard for you to get in a group. Maybe your schedule's so that it's really challenging. Can you get one person together with you? Just one. So you have two. Just two people can do this together and spend some God's word. And it's just 28 days. So I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment. Matter of fact, if you open your worship folder out, I think this is pink, right? Anybody? Again, another fault of mine, I'm colorblind. You know, God made me all sorts of faults. I am colorblind. But I think this is pink. I want you to look at this because I want you to think about getting in a small group. It might be just you and your wife and maybe the kids. I'm going to tell you, bring the kids in because the kids are going to sit at the Lord's table too. Bring them in and sit there, but just your family and do the study. It's just 28 days of reading, some questions to answer, and you get to watch a video of me. See, Gary the Great, I told you. You know, personally, I would rather have it be a video of somebody else, okay? I do not like watching myself. But we have I had just like a 12, 15-minute video to kind of set up the next week's lesson. And so after church this morning, we're going to meet in the conference room. I got some stuff to give you to get you ready. So if you group, just meet me there. If you're going to just attend, I want you to fill that out. I want you to sign that. That's your commitment. Pick up a book on the way out. You don't start reading till after your first group meeting. But see, we're a community. We're a people of God. We do this together. You know, you read the New Testament, and you read the Scripture. They met in the church, and then they also met in home to home. They met in the temple courts and home to home, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to meet on Sundays here, and then somewhere during the week, some are going to have a meeting on Thursday morning here. So if you're meeting Thursday morning, you want to go Monday night? I got one at my house. You know, Tuesday night, Dan and Linda more than willing to open their home up to you, and there's others that are starting. I don't have everybody that's starting yet. And so I'll put a list out next week of everybody that's starting when we get after the meeting today. I'll find out who's doing what. But I want to encourage you to be a part of this because we need to do this. Look at what it says. We will do everything the Lord has said. We will. So I want to challenge you. Will you make a commitment to be part of this? To be part of something special? Again, my goal is not that, you know, oh, look at all the people that did this. I want you to come on November 22nd and for something special and meaningful to happen for you. That it's like something you're going to look back on and say, you remember that day? Remember November 22nd? We sat there as a family, as body of Christ, as a church, and we took the Lord. So I still remember that day because something happened. For that to happen, we need to meet together. We need to prepare ourselves. And so I want to tell you, will you commit to being part of the community? So I'm going to ask you to fill it out. The books are free. We ask you to pay for it. I mean, the books are free. But I do ask you to pay for it because, listen, if you don't pay for it, more than likely you'll take it home, you'll look at it, and you throw it on the coffee table. And then you'll look at it later, 2 weeks later, and you'll put it somewhere else. Then later, pretty soon, it ends up on some stuffed away. Or you want to know what? I'll find it at one of the used bookstores here in town at Goodwill or something. Seriously. You know, Purpose Driven Life. I find them all over there. So I do ask you to pay for it. It's like $7.50, $8. But if you can't, don't worry about it. But that way, you're more than likely, if you put some money in it, guess what? You're more than likely to do it. And so you just, you know, I'll let God deal with that part of it with you. But I want to encourage you there. Will you commit to the community? We have to remember God's faith, celebrate the future, commit to the community. And almost last. We look inward, prepare yourself spiritually. We need to get ourselves ready spiritually. Are we ready? I'm going to ask you this. Are you ready for God to show up today? When you come into this church and you walked in this morning, what would it felt like if Jesus was standing here? Would you have been ready? Would you have looked and go, Now, I'm not talking about what you wear. All right? I'm not talking about what you have on. I'm saying, are you spiritually ready to meet him? Can you sit there right now and say, you know what, if God showed up, I'd be okay. Hey, God, we're in. Or are there some things in your life that need some care? Broken relationships. Sin. Battles within. Is there some things that you need to do to get ready? Look at what happened here for Exodus, in Exodus for the people of Israel. Then the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people. You hear what he said? Go down and prepare the people for my visit. Purify them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day, for I will come down upon Mount Sinai as all the people want. He's saying, you got 3 days to get ready. I'm giving you 40, okay? So wash your clothes. All right, you know, come in nice and clean. I don't, you know, it could be raggedy. I don't care. But prepare. But I want to talk about spiritual preparation. I want to talk about, is your heart ready for a visit from God? You know, if you're going to have company come to your house, what do? You clean the house, right? You know, make sure it's vacuumed, the dishes are put away, everything looks clean. Now, if we're inviting Jesus into our lives, don't you think our lives ought to be clean too? Don't you think we ought to kind of get everything ready inside of us? Maybe there's some obstacles that are kind of causing some burdens in our life. Maybe some battles that we just can't seem to win. Some struggles. I don't know. Relationships. So we need to prepare ourselves. And so I'm going to give you 3 ideas. Just real quick. The first one, you're going to need to set aside some time. If you're going to prepare yourself, you're going to need to set aside some time. You're going to have to get ready and invest some time. Things don't happen without you giving some time. And so I'm going to ask you during these next 40 days to take 28 of those days with this study and read every day. There's just 15 minutes worth of reading, but there's some activities to do. Yeah. But to read every, I'm going to ask you to commit to being in church every Sunday. If you can't be here, to get on the internet and listen to the sermon, because it's going to help you. It's there to help. It's not, well, listen to Gary. Be honest with you, I don't know why anybody comes to listen to me. I like Andy Stanley and Greg Grishel and Charles Stanley. Those are guys, you know, Billy Graham. Those are the guys I want to hear. Now, who wants to hear Gary? But I want you to hear God's word. You know, and so come and hear God's word. Be a part of what God's, but it's going to take some time. You're going to have to give some time. Things don't happen if you don't give your time to it. The second thing I put down here, you need to take an inventory. You have to look at yourself, doing a spiritual evaluation. How you doing? Where you're at? Is there some relationships that need work? Is my attitude all right? I had a hard day yesterday, and I woke up today with a bad attitude. Anybody? You can look at my arm. I tore up my arm. It was a bad day yesterday in that boat. So I woke up this morning, and Laura goes, why are you snapping so much? I did a lot of praying. God, if I'm snapping at her, I don't want people here to see me snap. I hide that from you guys. Can't hide it, can you? Yeah. But see, are we ready? Do I need to step back and look at myself? Am I just kind of drifting along? I'm going to turn 61, and here's one of my prayers. I have been praying, and I'm going to pray to the day I die. God, I don't want to cruise through life. When I burn out, I want to go out in the blaze of glory, okay? Like I tell you guys all the time, you know, my goal, my dream would be sitting here preaching and all of a sudden, and I die of a heart attack. Too bad for you guys. You know? But I want to go out on top. I don't want to just kind of cruise through life. All right, I'm kind of, you know. It'd be nice as a pastor. You know, I got a building now. We're cruising right along, paying our bills. God's doing good. You know, our finances. Let's just kind of cruise on through. I want to have November 22nd be something, man. I want to see God do something. So I need to step back and look and make sure, God, am I just kind of drifting along? Things are okay. Life is good. My kids are all doing good. My grandkids having birthday parties. I got to have fun with them the other day. Went to the movies with them. And, you know, God, life is just, now I have issues. I tell you all the time. It's frustrating right now. I've been wanting to eat some good food. I like, but I can't. I'm missing 3 teeth. have a state. Just see, do we need to look at ourselves? So take an inventory. Look at what it says. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. That's going to be the theme of the next 5 weeks, okay? I guess I forgot to read the other verse, didn't I? But you guys, anybody here, can anybody here read? You guys can read. All right, how about this last one here on this note? I will pray diligently. I will pray. Now, probably, I'm going to erase all that. This is the most important part right here. I'm going to tell you what, if you get this part right, rest will take care of itself. If you pray right and you seek God and you spend time praying, God will take care of all the rest of the stuff. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to be smooth. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to commit to spending my time reading. Then the clock doesn't go off, right? The alarm doesn't go off and you oversleep. You got to run to work and you didn't get to read that morning. Things are going to happen. But if you pray diligently, you seek God. Because everything else will fall into play. Everything else will click. Everything else. Prayer is that key that unlocks God in our heart and in our lives. Prayer is that element that just brings God into our midst. You want to draw closer to God? You pray. You want to see God and experience God? You pray. You want to have an opportunity for God to use you in a mighty way? You pray. Look at what it says here, Deuteronomy 4:7. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? Whenever we pray. Do you feel the closest when you pray to God? When you're talking with Him? See, I want to challenge you during these next 40 days as we get ready for that Lord's Supper, as you get ready to come to that table. Will you have spent some time with God? Will you have taken an inventory? Will you be praying for God to do something special? A day that you look back on and you can remember just, I remember what God did. See, I want to challenge you with that. I want to challenge you to be a part of that. We got 40 days to get ready. 40 days to prepare for something special, for something meaningful, for something to happen. Let's look at our last one here. Look up. Get ready for a God encounter. And here's what it says. Exodus 19:17. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountains. I'm going to lead us for 40 days to the Lord's table. And we're going to stand and come into this place November 22nd and stand in the presence, just as Moses did. Just everything Moses did. He prepared them. He got them ready. He shared God's word with them. And they remembered all that God had done. And then He brought them together at the foot of the mountain to encounter God. He had seen God. He had experienced God. God had been there for him. But He wanted the people to experience God. He wanted them to see God. And look at what happened. And when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the and when they saw the lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. Exodus 20:18. When they seen God and they encountered God, what did they do? See, this is what I want to make a change for us. I don't want you to stand afar off. I want you to come. We're all invited to the table. You cross that invisible line, you reach that point in your life where you say something along the lines of, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come to my life and take control. You look at your life and you're wondering, I'm not fulfilled. I have no meaning. I have no purpose. And I want to invite you to that God who has that for your life. And you cross that invisible line, and then you come to that table. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not as I read that, trembling with fear. I don't want to tremble with fear when I see God. I don't want to sit there and just, Now, maybe fear of awe, a fear of respect, a fear of standing in the presence of God. See, I've met all sorts of famous people. I've shook the hand and stood with Jimmy Carter, the president. Anybody? Politicians, I've been around, being on the school board, I've been around all sorts of politicians and people from Washington, D.C. They don't intimidate me. I remember one time we had a dinner at the school for some of the electeds trying to get them to give some more money to schools and the budgets for the county and the state. And it's like I sit at the end of the table, away from the politician. And they move me up next to him. And it's like, I don't want to sit there. Are you going to be fearful when God shows up? Are you going to be ready for that experience? I want us to have an encounter with God. I want you to experience something. I want something to happen in your life. I want some renewal and some refreshing, and I want to be blessed by the presence of God. And I want that for you. I want you to experience that. I want that to happen in your life. Because see, what I want to do is I want 40 years from now, I want you to look back on that. See, I'll be 100, almost 101. I plan on living that long, okay? Now, I'll be almost 101. I want to look back to this and say November 22nd, 2015 was a special day in the life of me and this church and you. That's what I want to do. So that's what Moses did. Moses took Israel for 40 years through the wilderness. 40 years they journeyed through the wilderness, out of slavery, out of bondage, they journeyed through the wilderness. He takes them to the Jordan. There's the river flowing in front of them. They're getting ready to cross over, and look at what he tells them. Only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Remember? He's saying, remember. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord, your God, at Horeb. He's calling them back. He said, go back and remember that day that you stood there and you said, we will serve the Lord. I want to challenge you these next 40 days, will you? Will you make a commitment to be a part of what God is doing? To be a part and to encounter God in a special and unique way? To have something meaningful happen in your life? To be renewed and refreshed and blessed by the presence of God? Will you make that so that 40 years from now you can look back on this day and say, God did something special. Special people. God has been faithful. You're a treasured possession. We can celebrate that future that is ahead. We have commitment to one another. We're not in this alone. We're here for each other. We'll walk. If you fall, I'll pick you up. We're here to be with one another and to go with one another. We're going to have a commitment together. We're going to take that spiritual depth and spend some time spiritually and pray and inventory our lives so that we stand in the presence of God and encounter him in a special way. So I'm going to challenge you this week to be a part of something special. 40 days to get ready for the Lord's Day. November 22nd, we're going to sit here in this place and share the Lord's Supper. But I don't want it to be just a normal service. I want something special and meaningful for you so that you remember 40 years from today. Remember what happened? November 22nd, 2050. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a God who is faithful. In spite of our unfaithfulness, in spite of the battles and the struggles we have, that you have been faithful. You have never left us nor forsaken us. Lord, I pray that these here will be your treasured possession, that they know that they are yours, a holy people, a priesthood of believers, that they're your people, a chosen people. I pray that you confirm upon their hearts that as we commit ourselves together, Lord, that we'll do something great, that something special and miraculous, that we will encounter you in a special way as we have prepared spiritually. Lord, this is your time in our hearts and in our lives. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe this morning you need just to say, God, I want to be ready to see you. I want to see you face to face. If you want to pray that, will you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen those who want to approach you. They want to see you and encounter you and experience you in a special way. Let us begin to prepare for that event. Encourage them, strengthen them, open their open their hearts. Reveal your will to them that we may pursue you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. In Jesus' name, amen.